that's great. Okay, members, I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting today. Can everyone hear me clearly? Okay. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent, so if you could please do that now. And the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded, except that the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind councillors of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Okay, first of all, if we any apologies?
Drina Carvel.
Is there any apologies from members? Gareth Sharvin. Anybody else? Okay. Any declarations of interest?
Chairman, Ms. Alfred Marie will be carrying an interest in regard to number 21, and Katrina will be taking that.
Okay.
Chair, number 17, I'm the chairman of St. Michael's Football Club. I'll be leaving during that.
Okay, Councillor Murray. Anybody else? Okay. I'm going to move on then. Item number 3 is the action sheet arising from SPNR committee meeting held on August the 14th, 2019. Pursuit for accuracy, page 1. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, and page 6. Okay, any matters arising? No? Okay, thanks very much. Item number 4 relates to the assessment of performance 2018-2019. The proposer and seconder for this, and Johnny, I think, is going to talk about that. Johnny?
Yeah, just very quickly, Chair, as I talk to the paper. Yes, members, the purpose of this report is to recommend for your approval tonight the assessment of performance for the 2018-19 year. We are required, in accordance with the Local Government Act, to provide and publish an assessment of our performance in the previous financial year by the 30th of September, and that forms part of our overall general duty of performance as set out in that Act. So really it covers a number of areas. It reviews our performance objectives for that 2018-19 year. It also assesses our performance against our statutory performance indicators with regards to economic development, planning and waste management, as well as any self-imposed indicators or standards that we might have. And in this regard, Chair, we use the most recent corporate plan as the vehicle for that. What I would just advise members as well is that it forms part of the annual assessment that the Northern Ireland Audit Office undertakes, so they will review this assessment as well as the other arrangements that we've put in place and hopefully provide a certificate of compliance later on this year. Chair, I'm happy to take any comments or questions. It's quite a meaty document, but I suppose in summary it is a positive story. We are certainly making real improvements with regards to how we manage our performance in this council. There's still a way to go, I would suggest, but you'll see in terms of the detail in the report, the broad range of areas where we are making improvement. I'll say, Chair, happy to take any comments or questions, but if I have member approval to that, please, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, I'm happy to propose the document. Just as Johnny says, I think it is a really good news story. Seeing you look back and read through these 90 pages, and the poor soul that had to type it all up. You realise in a snapshot of all that's been done in the council, and it is fantastic. And especially, you know, the two big capital projects of the leisure centres, you see, I think it's nearly a 23% increase in the use of the leisure centres, shows what a success story they are, and the Be Active campaign. And I know people have said to me, I've actually got the message myself, when you're out of the leisure centre for like 3 weeks, you don't go, you know, email or text to your phone saying, we miss you, where have you been? You haven't been there with your band. Which is, which at that point you put down the slice of cake and go back. But yeah, it's a huge success story. Also on the recycling figures, you know, the break to 50% target is absolutely fantastic. I made comment to the last performance document that we had here of we get to the point where we won't be needing our black bin picked up every 2 weeks. I know it's contentious, but it goes to show with the increase of the brown bin waste and the blue bin waste, that we are going in the right direction. The one thing that does strike me as a slight tint on it, but I don't mean to, you know, it's a positive report, but the visitor numbers and spend, and across the festival, the visitor numbers and spend, and I know we can show a trend, and it's great with the wee green face and the arrows beside it showing overall trend over 4 years, but in the middle section where we've seen a dip in the numbers for all our festivals, I think that's quite concerning. And the positive thing on that is that from the start of this new council term, we have looked to address that, and we've had workshops, and we'll have a workshop next week in order to recalibrate or to build on our tourism product. So I think that is successful. That will be successful, I mean, and I think it's probably born out of these figures going up and down. So it's the slight tint on a good report. And the last thing is the new jobs in the rural area. And I know through the rural development, the programme, the Lag Board, promoted a number of, I think it said something like 108 micro businesses. I don't have the figures in front of me. But I'm more focused on jobs. So yeah, we missed the target on the small and the micro businesses, and I think that was recalibrated that target into something lower. But the jobs that we created was over and above what we said we'd be creating, which was 108, and that is the key thing. The one issue that I will say with that is that ends now in September, and if we don't have a new programme coming on board, we need to replace that void that will be left from the Lag Board finishing. But I want to congratulate the officers on putting the report together. It really shows the council in a positive place, and I'm happy to propose it.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Do we have a seconder? Councillor O'Murray, any more comments?
Chairman, maybe just to let members know, conscious that this is going out tonight, I'm keen that staff and press know about it as soon as after members see it. So we are going to release a press release for tomorrow, saying it was presented to the committee tonight, identified the performance, and Chipping the Irish Brief School to staff first thing in the morning, which again will complement, because again, the performance is done by the 1,000+ staff that works in the organisation, and it's important that they celebrate, you know, the good results as well as everybody else.
And folks, I think we'd all agree that, you know, our organisation is based on our staff, and without the performance of our staff, we wouldn't be making the strides that we're making. So I think we're all in agreement that it's a positive report, and may I continue. Item 5 is the draft records management policy and procedure.
Dolly's going to deal with that.
Sorry.
Hello. Like Johnny, I'll try not to keep you too long. My records management policy and procedure, or the records management policy and procedure, aren't quite as meaty as the performance assessment. To introduce it, it does say this is the first formal records management policy and procedure that we have for the council, and it is now providing a standard guidance in the form of a very detailed procedural method of ensuring that our records management complies with both legislation, with the requirements of council, to create really, to enhance our corporate information asset ownership, to ensure that staff are aware that, you know, every element that they do within their work is managing the records, to ensure that we are following a proper process. We have lacked that till now, so therefore our records creation, our records maintenance, our retention and disposal are all falling somewhat behind in terms of working as one unit. And as a result, obviously we are open to some areas of problems with not always having the the information to hand at the right place at the right time. We are wasting time looking for retrieving documents. We are also wasting time duplicating information, and this is an element this is a procedure to try and reduce that. We will also be ensuring that people are compliant with every aspect of it, which is why it's very detailed. And as I say in here, these gaps have come out as a result, both from the information audit, the work of the compliance team, departmental manual, records management manuals and systems aside, we do need to have one big process that the whole council can adhere to and be compliant with. So that's that, really. Any questions?
Okay. Councillor Hanlon?
Yeah, thanks for that. I'd be happy to propose your recommendation. I suppose just looking at the records management and given the GDPR and everything coming in recently there, it'll give so much more protection to council staff and management and streamlining the process and having one policy and procedure across all the departments and also ensuring that staff remain compliant. Obviously avoid anomalies between departments, which could potentially lead to a breach in legislation. But also looking at the report endorsed the Ombudsman comments that it's good administration for records management and it's essential in delivering high quality public services and protecting service users. Okay. So thanks for that.
Thank you.
Do we have a seconder? Thanks for her.
Okay. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thanks a lot. The next element is item number 6. I think Alison's going to take that. That's the license agreement with Warren Stimulus, additional facilities at Council Road, Kilkee. We need a proposer and seconder for item number 6. Thanks, Alison.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Members, well, hopefully most of the members will recall, back in January, Council approved the renewal of a lease agreement with Warren Stimulus for a period of 25 years. That was to enable the group to apply for substantial funding to do a major refurbishment of its premises at Council Road in Kilkeel. apologies. During the lease renewal process, it has transpired that the lease does not reflect the current extent of Warren Stimulus usage of the site, and that includes they have provided an additional wooden building which they use for picture framing activities, so it's proposed to regulate that within the lease agreement. Warren Stimulus has also been using additional land and facilities which form part of Council's reversionary site. Council's Facilities Management and Maintenance Department has advised that this use could continue on a temporary basis, but it would not like to formalise that within the lease agreement, pending a determination on the future of the site. So what is being proposed is that we regulate the additional building within the new lease agreement, and we regulate the other uses within a licence agreement, which can be then determined by Council should it require use of the facilities itself. So that's members of the recommendation that Council approve a licence agreement to regulate Warren Stimulus's use of additional land and facilities at Council Road. Thank you.
Thanks, Alison. Councillor Tinley.
Yeah, just one proposal, Chair.
Second, Councillor Walker. Any further comments? Okay, Judy proposed and seconded. Item number 7, I believe you're thinking as well, Alison.
Members, this is a report in relation to a notice of motion received from Councillor Brown in relation to 4 issues: video recording and uploading or live streaming of all Council meetings, whichever is the most cost effective, audio of Planning Committee uploaded online along with other Standing Committee audio, audio recordings made of Council-led working groups, party reps groups, subcommittees, forums and task and finish groups, and motions to full Council should only be delegated to committees where the motion proposer has been given 5 working days notice by the Chair that this will happen. The purpose of this report, members, is to set out the current position and in relation to those issues to set out some of the considerations should members wish to proceed as per the notice of motion. I don't propose to rehearse the content of the report, members, but you will see at 3.1 of the report the recommendations, which is essentially no change to video recording or live streaming due to resource implications. The audio of Planning Committee is currently under review, so the recommendation would be to await the outcome of that review. In relation to other meetings, it's recommended there's no change due to staff resource implications and other issues highlighted within the report. Motions to Council, to full Council, members consider amending current standing orders to provide that the Chairman and Chief Executive will consider notices of motion prior to the issuing of the Council agenda, and when the agenda is issued, it will identify to what committee a notice of motion has been referred.
it's further recommended that in relation to notices of motion, that members are asked to further consider amending current standing orders to provide that only one notice of motion will be accepted per councillor per month. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Bryan.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks also for drawing the report up on this. But I have to disagree with some of the recommendations as the person who originally brought the motion. I'm sure you'll not be too surprised at that. I'll take these in turn from A to E. I would propose that we do go ahead with the most cost-effective video recording option. And if we need further costing on that, I would propose that we do that and bring that back to another committee rather than voting it down here tonight. Frankly, if it's good enough for Belfast and Derry councils, I don't see why we can't have it here in Newry, Mourne and Down. And actually, in the past, I know it may not get huge viewership figures, but on several occasions I've gone back and looked at meetings in Derry and Belfast and found it a lot easier to look at past motions that they've passed or decisions that they've made as a result of their video recording. So I think it's a very useful resource for anyone that's interested in the business of council and would help for councillors and for constituents and the press to go back and look at what's been decided in a very clear, verbatim way. I also think we should be striving for the gold standard in transparency. And if those councils can put the resource behind it, I don't see why we can't. On proposal B, I take the point that that's under review. That's fair enough. The only thing I would raise is, was the review not meant to be published or finalised in January of this year? I'm just wondering what the hold-up is with that. But I appreciate the legal issues around the planning committee and that needs to be looked at, but I would wonder why that's taking so long. On C, I suggest that we, rather than reject the recording of those additional meetings, that we go away and fully cost this and see exactly what it's going to cost before we reject it. I do think that all of the reasons that are given on page 3 of the report actually help to make the case for recording in terms of adding an extra level of transparency if anything goes wrong in the meetings that needs to be used for future ombudsman cases or for legal proceedings. I think it is very helpful actually to have a video, an audio recording of those meetings that is clear and indisputable. So I suggest we go away and look at that and bring that back to a future committee. On proposal D, I very much welcome this proposal that the chair or chief executive would communicate with a councillor who has a notice of motion coming to council. I've spoken out against this practice numerous times in the past, and frankly, it's not really an issue with the motion being heard at council. It's the fact that no notice is given to the person bringing the notice of motion after they've gone away and prepared for it. And also if there's members of the public that want to come along to a meeting as well, as we had there last week. Now, I didn't know those folks were coming up, but some of them came from Newry, from Kilkeel, to come and listen to that proposal. And I did warn them, look, this might get bounced into committee, but I wasn't able to say that for sure. And I think it'd be very, very helpful for everyone bringing the notice of motion if they knew ahead of schedule. 5 working days, as I proposed, would be ideal if the chair is planning to refer it to the relevant committee. I don't disagree with the practice. I just think we could be going about it in a clearer and more transparent way. And finally, on E, I would be completely opposed to that restriction that councillors can only bring one notice of motion. I think it particularly is a disadvantage to smaller parties and independents where they might have multiple issues that come up in a month, and that's not common. And I think it's unfair for a councillor to have to wait for perhaps multiple months to pass before they can raise multiple issues. So I initially thought that a limit of 3 would be reasonable, and I would suggest that we put that forward as a proposal that we limit the number of motions per councillor to 3. I have no interest in councillors sticking down 10 or 20 motions per month, but I think 3 would be reasonable to take into account the smaller groupings and independents on council. So I'm not sure if you can pull that all together into a single proposal there, Michael, but those are my thoughts on the report. So hopefully we can have a discussion around that.
Well, from what I can see, there are a total of 1, 2, 3 amendments and 1 request for clarity.
Maybe, Chairman, if I can clarify. Yeah, clarity, just for interest. Yes, the audio of planning committee meetings, it costs all councils There's different practices in terms of audio recording of planning committee meetings. These are now currently played out in the High Court as part of judicial reviews. So the reason for the delay onto it is, what we want to do is to find out what the implications of audio taping of planning committees is impacting in terms of decisions, in terms of how judges are looking at them. So I think that's the reason why there hasn't been as much update on that, because I know some councils are back looking at their decisions to audit court on the back of this year. So there's been a lot of movement across councils. I think ABC is examples of it. I know Derry's Taban is an example of it. I think Cosby Coast and Glens has been brought up as part of it. And again, it's one of our cases which is actually currently being in the audio recording. It's been sought as part of a court case onto it. So again, what happens to that there will indicate that. So maybe that deals with that one there, Chairman, if councillors happen with that.
All right, well, that leaves us then with two amendment proposals. Sorry, three amendment proposals, is that right? Yeah, one, A is to, A, C, and E. Your amendment proposal is that a full costing is done in relation to item A, that in relation to audio recordings at other meetings, that's fully costed as well. And that the notion of motion, or there's a limit of three for a councillor. Do we have a seconder for any of those? Seconder by Councillor Tenley. Then I want to hear from other members, and then we'll vote on. Councillor Mason, you've been waiting patiently.
We as a party would have been happy to support the officer's recommendations on this, basically because of the fact that the planning committee and uploading that online is under review at the minute. There's a lot of sensitive information within this committee in relation to family disputes and things like that. Mm-hmm. We also wouldn't support the recording of the sub-groups and party reps and task and finish and council subgroups. We think that written records is sufficient, and these groups allow members to brainstorm, discuss different issues in a flexible approach, which leads to better outcomes. We also support the fact that one notice of motion per month respects all councillor mandate. Without councillors trying to load the agenda, we even have some councillors on social media appealing for motions to be sent to them. So we would have been happy to support the recommendations of the officer.
Okay. Do I have a seconder for that?
No.
No, sorry. That's a recommendation. Sorry, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I second Councillor Mason, which is the paper that's in front of us. I agree with the points from the officer here. First of all, I'll go through, as Councillor Brown went through them, from A to E, obviously missing B. Video recording and uploading of live streaming, and we seriously going to say across the council term we're on about £70,000 on the ratepayer for what is a vanity project, because nobody can sit here and tell me that it would actually add to the service that we have here. Yes, you can see who's talking, but we're actually talking about the press and Councillor Brown, who listens back to the audio. It's not clear what's been said or who's saying it. It is crystal clear. And, you know, the point that was made there that we could record verbatim what was being said. I've used the sound clips so many times on the online upload. I think the sound clip was used for the BBC News of Marie Ward, and you'd swear it was an interview. You know, so the sound of the whole meeting, although it goes crackly at times, is adequate to show what's going on in the chamber. And a visual to go with it, costing the ratepayer £70,000 on the figures here across the term, is to me a vanity project. And yes, if we had the clips, we'd all use them. But it doesn't give a better service to those in our council area that we're meant to be serving. So I think it's another nonsense. Just compared to, because other councils have it, we should have it. We should be looking for the best return for a ratepayer. The best value for a ratepayer. We obviously skip B, as the Chief Executive had touched on that. The audio recordings of other meetings, I mean, we're talking about subgroups, the Equality and Good Relations Forum that Councillor Walker can say, the amount of work that was done last year. We sat and we had an appraisal at the end of the year of all the good things that came out of that group. Those things would not be achieved if we couldn't have frank discussions in that group about where our differences lay. And if those comments were taken out of that room and put in as headlines in the local papers, all you would have is standoff. There are forums that are used in order to get political parties to bang their heads, come together, and make progress. We should be looking for the gold star in collaboration across this council, not the gold star in getting headlines out of this council.
So I think to go down into those groups, you're helping with the party reps as well at the working groups. What would happen if we were taking some of the conversations out of, say, the Albert Face and Talk and Finish group? I mean, people won't be as frank in those groups as they were. They won't say what they think, and things will be taken out of context. And I think the main committees are audio recorded, the council meetings are audio recorded, and there has to be spaces afforded to all parties and the independents and alliance as well, spaces afforded to everybody to have frank discussions in working groups. So I think that's, and sorry I didn't butt in you, Councillor Brown, so that's a no-go from the SDLP. Motions to council. Members considering amending the current standing orders to provide the chairman and chief executive that notions will be issued what committees are going to. You know what, Councillor Brown sits, and I'd rather just deal with the issue because I'd rather play the ball than play the person. But sometimes it gets frustrating when the person just keeps coming at this for your own headlines. And on this, if you can seriously sit here, I've been in this chamber less than Councillor Brown. If we could seriously sit here and say, I don't know to the members of the public if that motion is going to go to committee, well, you shouldn't be sitting here after 4 years. If the motion is under the remit of this council, it will go to the committee. It is as simple as that. If we go out and we're spraying weed killer around the place, and you bring a motion on spraying weed killer, if we do it, it is dealt with in a committee, and you should know it goes to the Neighbourhood Services Committee. So I think it's disingenuous to lead the public down the path by bringing motion after motion after motion that should be going to committees. If you don't know, you shouldn't be sitting here. And you know what this will do? This will encourage councillors to go and talk to the directors of committees, to the chairs of committees and the deputy chairs and say, listen, I want to table something on the agenda and do it the proper way. And yes, we can all get our press out of it, but let it go through the structures of the council the way it was set up instead of using the public chamber for getting media headlines. And that runs on to the last one, which is limiting the notice of motions to accepted by a councillor to 1 a month. I agree with Councillor Mason. I think, you know, we all have a mandate. We bring motions on behalf of the people that we represent. But see, under this motion per councillor per month, not one single motion that was brought from the start of this term would have been turned away, because the lion's share of the motions that are brought here should have been dealt with in committee anyhow. It will force the councillor not to bring that single motion that they have through here, knowing that it's going to find its way back to committee. They will bring genuine motions that is given the view of this council to outside bodies or governments or whatever. So no genuine motion. I went back through all the motions, and I even went back last year. No motion would have been turned away from this. And we can't seriously sit here and say that it's limiting the independence and the alliance group, as you had said yourself. One day it's the alliance / independence group of 4 people, and one day we're individuals. So if you are putting forward a proposal that you would be happy with 3 notices of motions per council, your group, as you have constituted yourself, has 4 members, can take 4 notices of motions. Because I could take 11, Sinn Féin can take 16, but they won't all be in one person's name. It'll spread right across the group. And if it's about the motion itself, you spread it across your group. We will not be taking 11 notice of motions to council on any month. Sinn Féin won't be taking 16 on any month. But what this says is, if you want to take 3, you, by all means, take them through your group of 4 people. Take an extra one. So I don't think this limits anybody, and that's why we'd be supporting the recommendations from the officer as verbatim on this paper.
Okay. Any more comments? Billy, sorry, Councillor Walker.
Chair, our party will be supporting the officer's recommendation, and I concur with the previous 2 speakers. In particularly in relation to the motions. I remember in the old legacy down, and I'm sure maybe Murray was the same, Murray and Moore was the same, that I as a councillor, if I had an item, for example, I would have went to the appropriate department and I would have said to the minute clerk, I would have said, look, I have an item that you discussed in that committee, would you put that on as an item on the agenda. It was done and my name beside it, or Dermot Curran's name beside it for that matter, if it was Dermot Curran in that. Now, that can still happen, so it can, because a lot of these motions coming forward to council from different parties, my own party included, we know that it's going to be batted to a committee, so it is, and then dealt with. You're actually delaying the process of
your motion, because if you send it straight to the appropriate committee, it'll be heard at the first meeting. You're bringing it to a full council meeting. It's then been batted to the committee. You're maybe having to wait for another month before that motion is heard. So there is still the scope there to bring issues forward to the appropriate committee, and that rather than clog the main council agenda down with 5, 6, 7 motions. And I do welcome the fact that the chief executive and the chairman will have the discretion there to turn around and say, that's going to X, Y, Z committee, and that it means it'll be dealt with promptly. But the rest of this paper, our party is supporting the recommendations.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Any further comments? Well, just to sort of echo the sentiments that Councillor Byrne made in relation to the good relations element of it, a lot of that discussion needed to take place in private and yielded results. And as somebody who sat in that and saw that at first hand, I think there are merits in that. But I'd also say as well is the whole committee system is designed for the people with expertise in those committees to advise and guide when motions come along. And at the end of the day, Councillor, when it does come through the full committee, that's where the workings out of that motion comes through for further discussion if required at full council. So, you know, it does make its way in the process through full council after probably more in-depth and facilitated discussion. So I have at the moment amendments to items A, C and E. And we also have proposal to support the council official recommendations. So we'll have to put the amendments to a vote. Do we take them individually or as a collection of amendments? John, surely. Okay. Sarah, can you facilitate?
Okay.
We'll do the whole phone out. Oh,
sorry.
Just ET yourself up there and everything. I'll give you a shout in a minute. Okay. All right. We're going to have a... So The amendments, as outlined, are in relation to A, video recording, uploading or live streaming of all council meetings, no change due to resource implications. The request is that we take that back for full costing. Item C, audio recordings of other meetings, no change due to staff resource implications and issues highlighted. That again has been asked to be fully costed. And E, notices of motion, members are asked to further consider amending current standing order to provide only one motion of motion will be accepted per councillor each month. And the amendment proposal is for to limit that to three motions per councillor. So is that correct, Councillor? Right, okay. All those in favour of the amendment? Well, I just want to go through it through the
Councillor Brown. Councillor Byrne? Councillor Dorn Austin? Councillor Gallagher? Yes. Councillor Hanlon? Yes. Councillor Harrell? Councillor Lewis? Yes. Councillor Mason? Yes. Councillor Mulgrew? Yes. Councillor Murray? Yes. Councillor Savage?
Against.
Councillor Charvin's absent. Councillor Tinley? Yes. Councillor Walker?
Against.
Okay, so that's 2-4 and 9 against, 1 abstention.
Okay.
Councillor Borges is not here.
He's yes. Sorry.
Exactly. Okay. So the recommendation, as per the clerk, is carried. Okay.
I just take the proposal then, just propose.
Okay.
Take the proposal and second it for.
Proposed by Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor Byrne.
Take a vote. Put a vote. Yes.
Okay. Are we looking for a recorded vote for this as well?
No.
No. Do we need a call? All those in favour, does a recommendation show of hands, please? Same again. 10-4, 2 against. or those against? Any abstentions?
No.
No. Okay. Thank you, Alison. Okay, that's item 7 dealt with. Item 8 is the relates to the acquisition of strip of land at Irish Street down Padraic, and the proposer and seconder for that recommendation, and Fergal's going to deal with that. Fergal.
Thank you, Chairman. Evening, members. This is a proposal for a recommendation to acquire a strip of land at Irish Street down Padraic. Background set out in the report and in the map attached to that, which I think we start by reference to the map, it explains it in a straightforward way, hopefully. Council presently owns the car park on Irish Street, which is an off-street pay display car park. Department EFC is the owner of the former police station, which sits derelict. In between the two sites sits a strip of land owned by an independent third party. And as a result of contact between DFC and council over a significant time, they have the aim of acquiring the strip of land with a view to a joint strategy towards a creation of a development site, which would be subject to a development brief and then put out to market for potentially commercial residential development. The key, as I've said, to the project involves the acquisition of the thin strip of land separating the two sites, which is highlighted in blue on your map. I've also outlined the background to it as well, which was that initially the acquisition of the property directly adjacent to the police station at 39 Irish Street was explored together with the four different plots of land which connected the front of 39 to the strip, which is under consideration. In the course of that of those inquiries, it transpired that there were four different owners of the little pieces that joined up 39 to the strip, and is thus considered ultimately more expedient just to go ahead with the acquisition of the blue strip alone. It's been assessed by LPF in the sum of £100,000. Contact was made with the estate agent. Discussions took place between ourselves and the estate agent. Initially, they were looking for more than the sum had mentioned, but it was negotiated to that figure. So those are the issues. Council is invited to approve the acquisition of the site. All valuations have been done by LPF. It's all been done in terms of what represents the best value and what the key evaluation is for the strip. Estate agents and solicitors' fees would be on top of that and would add an additional £2,000 or £3,000 to it. So, happy to take any questions.
Mr. Brown.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for pulling this together, and I would welcome the report and would propose that we accept it. This is part of a very important regeneration project for the whole of Downpatrick. I just wanted to ask, has there been some consideration on what impact this could have, if any, on the proposed one-way system that would go around that part of Downpatrick that's been proposed for a number of years by road service? Whether that's relevant or not, I just wanted to check, because I know that's around the same sort of area that was proposed, so I'm just, for my own interest, wondering.
Chairman, it doesn't affect it immediately. As you will appreciate, this will be put together as a development brief. Traffic management for the development brief will have to consider as part of that, but road service have their own proposals in terms of how to deal with that with Conses Corner, so there is no proposals for a one-way system at the moment, but the development of that site will require a traffic management plan to deal with car parking, access and egress, so that would obviously come part of a discussion, but it doesn't have any direct impact on road transport at this point in time. It's a matter of getting the development brief out there so we can actually get regeneration within the centre of Drumpatrick.
Okay, Councillor Hannan.
Hi. I just second Councillor Brown's proposal. I think it's really important that this purchase is expedited, especially given that we need to get a development proposal put forward for this area in Downpatrick. The development of this area is crucial in promoting and enhancing the regeneration of the town centre, not least given the issues the traders in Irish Street and Downpatrick have encountered over the last 9 months. So would welcome as well the fact that you've negotiated the cost of it to negate any extra for the repairs as well. So happy to second that. Thank you.
Okay. Any further comments?
I can say, Chair, that we have details of solicitors who act on behalf of the vendor, so the transaction itself shouldn't be prolonged. It can hopefully take place within the next 2 to 3 months.
Okay, everybody in agreement?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Item number 9 is related to an alleged public right of way between Kirkcreechy Road and Tremont Burial Ground in Newry. Fergal, you're taking that as well?
Yeah, this is an issue in relation to the assertion of a public right of way. Chair, the issue relates to the area between Kirkcreechy Road and Tremont Burial Ground in Newry. And council was recently approached by residents who were of a view that the path represented a public right of way, and they requested that it be asserted as such. Under the access to countryside policy and procedures, the path was scored. That means that there were criteria applied to the path in terms of the fact that it joined to other areas, that it led to a particular designation, and on the basis of the information that Heather Wilson unearthed during her inquiries and investigations, it was decided that this pathway scored quite highly on the scoring matrix, and it's as a result being put forward for assertion. We seek a decision. Recommendation is that council supports or follows the recommendation that the path be asserted. You see that there were a number of residents spoken to during the inquiries, and 5 completed evidence forms. So there are no contrary voices here to say that this shouldn't be asserted as a right of way, and that is the recommendation sought. So again, happy to deal with any issues.
Sure, I'm glad to hear that there are no contrary voices to it. Councillor Tinley.
Just want to propose the recommendation, Chair.
Okay, Councillor Tinley, do we have a seconder? Councillor Mulgrew. Okay, everybody in agreement? Okay. All right, item number 10 relates to the purchase of a strip of land at Lismore Park across McGlen. Farrell, you're taking this one as well.
Thank you, Chair. Council has holds this piece of ground under a lease with the Housing Executive, which was entered into in 1989, essentially to allow a pathway between the housing development and council playing fields. Over the years, the use of the area shifted from being purely pedestrian to being a vehicular entrance. And in fact, I think it's visible on the map, the fact that at the council playing field side of the path, you can see the car park area where it's used by vehicles. So essentially this report seeks to rectify the map which is attached to the lease which we currently have. It's purely a rectification issue whereby you see on the map the outlined area which sits on the map in red is the area which is currently in use. The area hatched in blue is the former pedestrian only access. So this is hopefully a straightforward matter of rectifying the map. What the Housing Executive have in fact agreed to do is to transfer the freehold in this new red outlined area, and council would in turn surrender the lease. So council acquires the land as opposed to leasing it.
Okay, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think for 7 or 8 years, I broke the law by driving up it because I used it for the soccer team I managed. That was a home pitch. I didn't realise that it was only the footpath. I know it's only the width. It's the width of one car, like.
Yeah.
But it was only for pedestrian access. I'll propose the paper, but one thing that I do want to ask the officers maybe to get in contact with Cross and Glen Rangers GAA Club, because they lease out now the playing fields as were council grounds for, I think, they have a 25-year lease in them.
Okay.
And that means they don't have access to this path. And I know from speaking to the chairman that this path is blocked off currently. There's access to that gate is blocked off currently with temporary barriers, and they use going through the front gates of the club, which takes you up back to the third field at the back. So contact would have to be made with them. There's no point in the council having the full freehold of this if they don't then transfer the leasing opportunity on to the Rangers, so they have access to the back of that, because it's used by a lot of people in that park as well. It's most the biggest park in Crossmaglen, and they currently now have to go out onto the Dundalk Road and go in through the front of the Rangers Hall. And for kids in Lismore to go and run around that play park, it's dangerous to send them onto a busy road, even though it's only 50 yards around the corner. And that has been complaints from families in Lismore. Not that the Rangers can do that, because they don't have access to that end. So if we could contact the Rangers, but I'll propose the paper.
Okay, we have a seconder?
Yeah, I was just going to say as well, that wee playing field is the field used by our primary school. I teach in the primary school across, and traditionally we would have come up there in the wee minibus and up the side and parked in the wee footpath. And Pete's right, what the children are asked to do now is they drive into the Rangers car park, and the children have to run the full length of the two football fields. But if you walk, small children, like you're an Indian, walk the full football field across the marshy sort of area to get there to do their warm up and that there, and the other way is just far more handy. So whenever the council are going ahead with this here, I support what Pete's saying. We get in touch with the chairperson of Crossmaglen Rangers, see if they can enter into some sort of a service level agreement or whatever with them, that you know that the common sense will prevail and that will be opened up to the public there, you know.
Propose and second it with that caveat, additional caveat. Are you happy to proceed on that basis, Fergal?
Absolutely.
Is everybody in agreement?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Thanks, Fergal. The next item is, where am I? Item number 11. It's for noting, it's the Performance Improvement Assessment 2019 Audit Network Programme, Johnny McBride, I think. Is it just for noting? Any questions from the floor? Everybody happy to note? Everybody in agreement?
Yeah.
Duly noted. Okay. The next item is item number 12, quite timely, is again for noting. It is for noting, but it's to bring the members' attention. As you know, we've been working on the Brexit Risk Register, and that's going to be dealt with, I believe, by Connor. So, Connor, if you could give us an insight into what's going on. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. The purpose of this report is to present members with an update on the current position with Council's Brexit planning and preparedness, and share with you the current up-to-date Brexit Risk Register that we have based on the information we have at hand at this moment in time. The Council Brexit Working Group met on Monday to update the Brexit Risk Register that's been attached to the paper. It's a live document, and it could be changing on a daily basis based on the outcomes of Brexit. There's so many unknowns that it's a live document. It's changed very regularly, and it's something that we're trying to get a hold on and get a grasp on what the risks are, what the mitigations we have in place, what the residual risks are, and what further additional local controls we can put in place within council to try and mitigate the impacts of a reasonable worst case, I think is the term that's used in Westminster around the Brexit planning. So it brings in a lot of the thinking from Yellowhammer, and you've heard the Yellowhammer mentioned briefly when the papers had to be released by the government, but central government and the emergency planning profession have been working on Yellowhammer for the last 9-10 months, and this feeds into the Brexit Risk Register and identifies the key risk areas that we've included. So as I said, it's for noting, it's to give you an update on where we are and what we have done. It's not a complete piece of work, it's a changing picture on a daily basis, but it just shows you what sort of resource implications there are for council, what we have done to date, but there's still more work to be done. So I'm happy to take any questions on the content of the register.
Aye. This could be the first time that the Brexit issue has never been debated in the chamber for the last number of months. Do you have any comments, or is somebody going to do it justice? Pete, I knew
you. No, I'm not. It's not to be debated. It's just to let it go without comment. It did come up at the audit committee, and myself, I think Roisin sits in the audit committee as well, and we are looking at, you know, the gross risk and where we can get it to with these measures. And I made the comment we pretty much can't move it in the matrix. You know, it sits where it is, no matter what we throw it now, because we simply don't know, and that's where we sit. So this is sort of all up in the air until October the 31st or the end of January or however far the can is kicked down the road. So, yeah, happy to get on it.
Yeah. Just Chairman, again, conscious that, you know, we have to plan on a no deal basis. We're part of local government in terms of we've received funding from the Executive Office for, you know, our contacts in terms of our connectedness with C3, which is the command and control for Brexit, in terms of whether it will step up middle of October if we're still looking at a no deal situation. But also, we are currently looking to expend money in Kilkeel in regard to the fishing industry, in terms of looking at employing environmental health officers to actually deal with certification of fish products, particularly into it, because if we don't prepare for it, then there's an issue with these businesses going forward. That doesn't preclude us also doing work. The economic development team are doing work with businesses, giving advice to businesses and running workshops, in conjunction with Chamber of Commerce, Interstate Ireland, and with InvestNI. And on top of that, then, also, we are liaising with other public sector bodies, for example, the port, in regard to accessibility and in terms of access, in terms of storage for vehicles, if there's problems with stuff getting out of the port. So it's basically our local, is to give you some sort of an understanding that we as officers consider this extremely important. It's a piece of work that we're going to be doing. At this point in time, we are expending resources as we see required. You know, we've got money from the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development in terms of doing some of this money. We've got money from the executive and some stuff, but this may ratchet up as we go along. And we've got no other option but to make preparations. Again, some of the stuff you see in there in terms of our vehicles and Mercedes who are buying additional parts, stocking up in terms of fuel. And again, it's not scaremongering, it's not to be scaremongering, but there would be something wrong with the council if on the 1st of November we run into problems and we haven't been thinking and planning ahead. So it's just to give you an assurance that these officers are planning and we're based on the risk register as it stands at the moment.
Okay. Any more comments from the floor? Happy to note everybody. Yeah, Julian knows. Thanks, Connor. Thank you. The next item is item number 13. This item is deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 3 of part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any political particular person. The public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. Sorry, Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I left one item out.
Sorry.
Apologies. What's that? Yeah, this item I want to raise is rate program overpayment. You will be aware that, you know, when we set the rates, there was the issue over the court case, the Ulster court case, whereby they made the argument regarding the calculation of its support grant. It was a cost to the council roughly about £800,000 per annum, roughly speaking. But also during the talk here, that the department were seeking to claw back the underspend for the last 3 to 4 years onto it. So Verena made a case on behalf of all the councils about why this should be written off, because I'm not going into the technical reasons, that's where the titans are on it. But I can confirm now that the Department of Finance have approved the write-off. So from a perspective, we had, within our reserves, had held this money to do this. But again, we're now in a position where that actually has been secured. So it doesn't stop, as we've been hit with £800,000, understand, in this year, because we've got to and getting the money. We haven't got the money for this year, and that's something we, when you see the, as we go through the accounts process, present the accounts, you will see a financial deficit, you know, roughly on an annual basis, which will come in roughly about 800,000 at the end of the year, which we will then have to take out of reserves. So just to bring you up to date on that, members.
So we're talking about roughly a write-off of overpayment of 2.6 million?
That's a write-off for the department.
For the department, they've written that off. Yeah. Okay, all right. So a bit of good news. Sorry about that. That was something that was slipped in late in the day. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, and that's why I sort of, sorry for shouting out and before Liam came in there, but we sent the press out of the room when we just got for the write-off of 2.6 million, like the wrong time is the best thing on the agenda. I couldn't believe when I seen it, because this one only went up today. I was looking at yesterday on this page, hadn't been put on it. And listen, we sit on the, I read the letter from Dorina when the ruling was made, and we disagreed with the way they made the calculation and the whole lot, and it was very complex. But the letter that Dorina had sent was very heavy-handed. It was brilliant. It was a fantastic letter. We were quite optimistic, although I didn't think they'd come back with as positive a result as this, you know, writing off. We do understand we still have a deficit of, you know, 800,000, as you say, Liam, going forward. Are the councils coming together to challenge the new way of calculating the rate support, or are we happy to let it go? And I know the write-off, the 2.6 million, then is very, very positive for us to get into a rates process and us shouting the strike a 0% increase in the rate, because we did. And as Dorina is quite frugal, we did, you know, ring fence staff to say, listen, we might have to pay this money and this will be set aside come November, so beware of that. So that's just chalked off the first page.
I suppose to take the other side is, yeah, we're making the argument. I think the department's been quite clear to us. You ain't getting it, we ain't got money in the budget now. We will still press the case for the in year. If I was being this realistic, members, I think the chances of getting it is nil. Given the current financial climate within central government, it was a one-off payment that they were able to do to us in January of last year. Remember, we got it very late in the day, and it was based on underspend. So, you never know. Sometimes God's good, Santa Claus will come, you know. But if I get it, but I wonder. The bigger issue is what you mentioned, Councillor Byrne. Is the issue is that this formula is wrong and has to be changed.
Yeah.
We're making that the business department. It's a ministerial issue. We need the minister in behind us. We have a meeting between all the school's chief executives and the permanent secretaries tomorrow. I'll be seeing Tracy Maharg in the sideline and saying, thanks very much for the write-off. But Tracy, what have been in here? And when are we going to... And when they're doing, as you probably will know, there's a piece of work being done on industrial and business rates.
Yeah.
And there's a paper being forward to bring to the minister, to ask the minister to look at options in terms of dealing with business rates. There's no reason why the department can't have the same thing done. Yes, it will require ministerial decision, but let's have the paperwork ready so that we're not going to sit 2-3 years down the line while they go through a whole review process. There's no reason why they can't be doing it now. So that's hopefully a long-winded answer to your question.
No, it's the answer I was looking for. Yeah, that's quite positive, because they did say, the judge did rule and say that there was merit in both calculations. So
yeah.
I think it was quite good harsh.
The challenge.
It was good, but Ken, by hook or by crook, can we get this news to the press before they go home?
Yeah, well, I'm sure somebody's got a few phone numbers there, even if they are offered out over the coming hours. And just to echo those sentiments, it was an excellent piece of work on Dorina's behalf, and I think we should all extend our thanks there for the work she did on that. Okay, again, this item, number item 13, is deemed to be restricted by the virtue of paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. So I need a proposer and seconder to go into committee. Proposed Councillor Mulgrew, seconded by Councillor Gallagher. Thank you.
Okay, I know it's been on the go since I was in plastic pants. That's going back over 50 years ago. But I do hope that I have a DC light at the end of the tunnel.
I wonder what the Russian was there.
Quite appropriate, Terry's nappies. Well, anyhow, you know. I don't know what just got in the paper. leave it to Andrew right enough. Well, anyway, I do welcome the commitments to the Ballinhouse Bypass, and I know we had a meeting in Belfast with the Permanent Secretary along with Billy and Jim Chaney MP in relation to the Ballinhouse Bypass. And I do share frustration, because whenever I go to the Nilga conferences up the country, the roads are gleaming and shining, and yet maybe we go south to Cardiff, it's a different world altogether. But I'd say it's up to a lot of trial and error part in working with us to try to come to that. But it was just a couple of, I left you in a bestseller. I could be here to breakfast 10 in the morning, but I do hope, by the way, that you'll help us out with some of the concerns I've raised. But another a couple of wee pointers, and just in the flooding, last December we had flooding in down Patrick Street. I haven't seen anything like that since 2007, but I was out in Kitty that night, and some inconsiderate motorists drove past, and I got a free shower. But as I say, businesses in the town are worried that if there's any more adverse weather conditions, that there could be a wee pit of flooding. And also, and the old Grand Jury Road in Saintville, I know it's been raised as well regarding manhole covers and flooding. But I've also been asked as well about, I've been in touch with the department a few times in relation to road bonds, whatever, because there's a development in Killalay and Inishmore, and that's been ongoing, you know, for several years now. In fact, they've said residents that live there because the road bonds, I don't think the road bonds are adequate to cover reinstating the road and whatever, because it's manhole covers are covered with steel plates and everything, and residents are worried about something happening. And maybe the road service could look at that policy, that if there's no way that the road bond can be fulfilled, or the additional outstanding balances being addressed, that maybe a road service would step in, you know, as the last resort to make good, you know, for the residents, who through no fault of their own have to endure with the conditions. I know Inishmore is not unique, there's other areas like it, but again, it's just people feel frustrated that for years that because of unfortunate circumstances that they're left high and dry. But again, that's all from me, but again, thanks for all that you do.
Want to respond anywhere there? Yeah. Is there anything you need to respond to?
Chair, if you're content, I think I've got most of those issues recorded here.
Right.
Just the one issue that I may want to touch on is the A7 in Doran's Rock. Unfortunately, it falls into the category of what we call a large minor scheme, so it's not in our strategic road programme, although we designed it there. But from a financial point of view, and it's really... we're waiting on a position when funding can become available, but we have it there. It's one of those schemes that we have there if funding does become available. So at this moment in time, we don't have any, but that's why I'm just keeping it on the system.
Before the scheme starts, Minister Clinton talking about it, because the upgrade of the Giant Buffer site is that road, you put the new curbs on, and there's no place where there's no movement change, and that's what we're looking for. One done before you start. Not waiting to start and then the country on, because it's not on the scheme.
Right, well, a couple more details yet, and boys can take note of those, any supplementaries there. Steve Crube, have you anybody here from Steve Crube?
Steve Collins.
Sorry.
Just one question, it's more of an interest than anything else. It's to do with more the local residential roads and stuff like that and resurfacing. I've got quite a few local constituents wanting to know some of their streets as such have been probably 10, 15 year old. They've been patched here and there and they're looking pretty dishevelled. Given the fact that it's financial limitations with yourselves, whereabouts is that in that aspect of it, and how do they qualify to get a surface that's not patchy everywhere and kind of decrepit as such, because there are a few of those within the local area that really are, and it's just people have asked that question.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to thank the road service officials for coming on today, and I had already raised some issues with you this afternoon, but a project that I'm really wanting to just put on record again here is the adoption of the Carnglave Manor in the Spa. It really is causing a lot of problems for people who live there, who are trying to sell their house, or people who are trying to buy a house in the estate, because the area is not adopted. Now, it's between the contractor and between Northern Ireland Water, but I do feel that the road service have some sort of input here to ensure that this is moved on and that the area is adopted as soon as possible, because it has been ongoing for a long period of time. The second issue would be the speed limit in Seaford. It's currently sitting at 40 miles an hour. Now, I've raised this issue with the road service in the past, and they come back and say that due to the criteria, because of the house they're sitting far back from the road, but I am really just requesting a common sense approach to this. If there's any way you can look at bringing this down, lowering it. Seaport is becoming a more busier village with newer house estates. There's a whole new house estate being built out the back, but at the moment there's an influx of young families, elderly residents living along the front houses, and it is totally unacceptable that the speed limit is still that high. It's the only small rural village within my area that does have a speed limit that high. Just inside Seaford as well, there's a estate there called Ford Way. it has a speed limit of 30 mile an hour. I've raced that in the past as well, and there's an extension being built on the back of that. There's lots of young kids there. It's far too high for there. And finally, I just want to concur with Councillor Clark there that raised about the 12 arches and Murlach. It sort of sits in between Mourne and Field Croob. Now, I have two young kids, and I would park in that car park just outside Dundrum and walk to Newcastle. On a day where that beach is really busy, you couldn't, because you can't walk up that layby. You can't go past the cars. Not to even mention parking there to go to the beach. It is a death trap with cars coming between Newcastle and Dundrum. I feel that the council and the DFI really need to look at doing something there, like a joint up, some sort of thing on outside the inbox to get that sorted, to try and come up with some way to increase the parking there along that stretch. Thank you.
Do you want to respond to them too, please?
Speak, Pete. It's just one. It was asked for a point of information, Chair. Is that possible?
Go ahead.
From Ballyhinch to Jamara, what we call the top road, it actually goes up by the from the golf club to Jamara. The top road. Do you know what I mean? Is that a part of our area? The roads. Does that drop onto your area?
Part of it was
the division,
of course,
Jamara. Yeah, I've had a lot of complaints on that road there lately about the state of it. Not just the bumps any longer, but there's potholes on it. You tarmac the section of it, but it's more the Jamara side of it now. Is there any chance of getting something done there?
So that's the Eastern Division.
Is that the Eastern Division?
It's distressed.
Yeah. Who do you see there?
Chief Goggin will get officially here now to get in, and you're been in your own DA as well, so.
I know. Sorry, Chair. Thank you.
Chief Goggin. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Chairman. And we did also meet this morning, and I raised a good few issues this morning in the meeting, but just a few I want to follow you up on is Simon was to come back on the junction of the Creamy Road. I've been raising it with you now, Simon, for several years. The other one is that in this brochure here, or in your document, it says here that the gullies will be cleaned once a year in the rural areas, and I know most of our gullies hadn't been cleaned in 5 years. And can you give us a public commitment that all of the gullies within the south of my area will be clean? We're looking at a commitment on that, because most of our areas, unsalted areas, and we flooding on them regularly, and the fact that there's so many springs within that area, the water runs down the road. So if we get a commitment that all of those gullies will be cleaned before the winter comes in, And we'll follow you up on that. The other thing is that we talk about the spraying. The spraying happened with us in the last 2 weeks. Like, do you know what a waste? Do you know, like, we looked at the ugly weeds up through the footpaths and the streets all summer when everyone was praying, when there was hanging baskets and stuff out in the states and that, when people were trying to do their best, and we had these ugly weeds, and we come in the last week or 2 weeks to do the spray and to kill the weeds. Like, the old people always put the sprayer away on the 15th of August. We come out with the sprayer after that, you know, which is totally enough madness. Like, it's a waste of spray, it's a waste of money, it's a waste. But that's the seemly operator, right? We're just bottom of the list on this when everywhere else is done. We're well used to that. The other thing is the holes were 4 inches and now we're repairing them at 2 inches. I just want to bring to your attention, in April, after reporting a hole on the Dundalk Road for many times, many of the residents reported we couldn't get it fixed. The residents erected a local sign warning people about us. They actually put up the number of a local breakdown service that will come and take their car away. And it was only after that I got the papers out, put a level on the road and dip the hole which showed 7 inches deep that we could get it fixed. That's what we're working with. And that's who we are treated. Regardless to us as councillors meeting and ringing in and out, we're just treated. And I told myself tonight I wasn't going to get frustrated. I'm 20 years of this now and this time I've got myself on. But I just had to say, like, that's what I had to do in April to get a hole fixed after the residents, every American in car is damaged and involved. And we did, we come out eventually, we did fix one, and there was one beside when we left it. So it's so frustrating, but I'm not going to get on enough of it.
Laura.
Thanks, sir. Yeah, we had a good meeting this morning, went through a whole list of roads. There was a few roads around Newtown done last year. Thanks for all that there, and there's a few more needs to be done this year. We talked about Dundalk Street and Newry Street and the square. Sort of like we're going to get to the stage now this year where all the roads leading into Newtown are going to be resurfaced in the centre of the town. It's just going to be in the that EI scheme. I just checked there, and that went through last week through the planning. So it's going to have a situation where there's going to be new curbs and that, and new streetlights going in. So it's actually going to really improve the look of it. You're going to have a surface going down through the middle of the town, which is probably substandard compared to all the roads leading into it. When you go right at Dundalk Street, you're going to cross Newry Street. So the square there is brick paving, which is all sunk, probably as a legacy of it just never being properly developed in the first place. And I spoke with about the traffic management plan. Val, yeah. So if it's possible at all, if I can get in touch with Val, maybe I could organise a site meeting with him just to talk about traffic management. There's a high volume of cars parking on both sides of the road there. That main road's only a narrow road at the best of times, so when you put a car either side of it, there's buses and lorries going up and down it, and it's just it's a disaster at the minute. There's the winter service. I mentioned it this morning. I've been mentioning it every year since I became a councillor. It impacts negative. No, the winter service doesn't impact negatively upon it. But there's two areas that don't benefit from it, and it's directly outside and the roads to Ballymire Primary School and Carrickwell Valley Primary School. I feel I have a duty to report it to you because I'm getting it in the year every year. There was a school bus overturned outside of Carrickwell Valley Primary School last year after sliding down the hill, and it's just that we'll look at it again this year, and that I'm happy to go out and meet with anyone. I'm happy to get any sort of letters of recommendation out there from the boards of governors or principals of the school just to try and get safer routes to schools before there's some sort of a serious accident. But that's me for my...
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Okay. Going back to Steve Crube and in relation to the residential roads. I mean, the residential roads do get inspected by our staff, and they will assess those. And there are a number of options for resurfacing treatments. Sometimes, if it does need bitmacked or maybe some sort of micro surfacing, which is thin surfacing, we can use surface dressing. So they do get assessed and looked at and prioritised, but again, it's competing with other areas. So they're not overlooked, but they are compared to some of our major roads. You know, they don't get the same level of priority. So that's just the way it is. In relation to the spa, the issue about the road not being adopted, I can look into that with my development control teams. Setting of speed limits. We have a setting of speed limits guidelines, and you know the assessment through Seaford, I think, has been explained to me before by my traffic teams, and that's what the outcome has been. So I can't give you any indication that that's likely to be reduced, but we will keep it on our records. I take the point again about Murlock and the safety issues there, so we've touched on those. Honestly, Gullion, Councillor Hardy, yes. You know, the creamy road's not on, and you know, we have talked about it every year. It's not something that I have forgotten about totally, but it's not within my remit in relation to the level of funding they'll have the LTSM. Gullies, I can give you a commitment that we will clean them once per year, and I've spoken to Ian and Stephen about that. Now, I can't give you a commitment that they'll all be cleaned by the start of the winter season. We will endeavour to do our best to do that, but the criteria is that we will clean them once per year. So I can give you that commitment, yes, but I can't, not necessarily by the winter season. The spraying of weeds, okay, I'll take your point on the spraying of weeds and whether we can try and plan that any better going forward, but Ian and I will talk about that, and we obviously didn't fix every pothole over 2 inches then, if your situation of the Dundalk Road, so I have to apologise for that one and do our best. Certainly, that's not the level of service we want to provide, and it's not the level that, you know, we're not, there's no difference in our service across the area, so, well,
Mara, did you get your query responded to that? Do you have another? That's it. Simon, thanks very much for you and your team.
Sure, could I just take a few more minutes? Could I just say thanks to the Chief Executive here? I think this may be the last meeting I'm at before Liam goes, so could I just pass on my thanks and the work that we have done between ourselves and the Council, and just to wish you a long and happy retirement.
Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much, man. Thank you. Where's Greg? Is he hiding?
Yep. There you go. Yep.
Are you Chief of Staff back there, or are you? Do you want to come on up then?
Do you just want to introduce your team, please, if you don't mind?
Go ahead.
Good evening, councillors. Chairman, Chair, Vice Chair. Good evening. My name is Kieran McHugh. I'm the local transport manager for the Downpatrick and Newcastle area. And to my right is my colleague Greg McLaughlin for Newry, and our area scheduler, Peter Murphy. And we're joined this evening by our area manager, Arthur Hamilton, who will probably give a few words later on. I have produced just a short presentation just to try and bring council up to speed. And basically, we're just going to go forward and tell you, I want to make a short reference to our annual event of Bus and Train Week. I've got a short video presentation to show you about how the benefit it is at sustainability of public transport. And then I'm just going to finish off with a couple of slides about some local sort of things that we've been working on over the district over the year, from my point of view, from down as far as Downpatrick or Newcastle, and I'll hand over to Greg to talk about the Newry area to finish. And then we'd have the pleasure of receiving any questions from yourselves. So with all due, I'll continue, please.
All right, thank you.
So, as I say, this is the Downpatrick and Newcastle area. Starting off, what I'm going to speak about this evening is the Bus and Train Week, which is our annual event that we try to promote the sustainability of all types of public transport and how beneficial it is to the environment and the communities.
I'm going to show you, we've got a slight upgrade in vehicles over the year that's ongoing. We have made some express service amendments, local service enhancements, and some local school bus improvements, as I'll finish on this evening. So I'm hoping now, this is the thing I'm doing. So we've got a short video presentation, hopefully.
Today was about us launching our fourth annual Bus and Train Week. Yesterday we launched it on a health topic. Today was about focusing on the economic benefits of public transport.
I think what stood out for me were the hard economic facts about public transport and the role that it has to play in driving our economic growth across the city and across the region. The fact about if you invest £1 in public transport, it has a ripple effect of £4 into the economy.
Economic growth is really dependent on good connectivity, and if you're going to have investment in this city, it's going to be a city to work. The whole transportation system has to be integrated and has to work as well. Well, I think probably one of the big statistics that came across today was funding, and 50% less funding for transport in Northern Ireland relative to other UK regions. Now, that is a bit of a shock, given a lot of the work CBI has done around how we raise productivity, for example, is all about connectivity and infrastructure. So I would like to see, as many people in the room did, that problem being addressed. We need more funding if we want this to work.
What stood out for me today is that very, very small change will make a very significant benefit. So if just everybody made one small change once a week, we would make a dramatic impact on carbon emissions and on modal shift. And I think that's one of the key indicators that come out today. It's not about trying to massively change behaviour, it's about trying to take at least the first small steps.
So thanks, councillors, for your attention on that. The message that we're trying to get across is that a small change by everyone can have a significant effect on the environment, and one of the things we're doing towards that end as an organisation is, well, we use leaner burn engines, we're using Euro 6 engines now, which are much cleaner for the environment. We've got higher capacity and burning less fuel, so as we'll be touching on that later on, this has been a great impact with how we're upgrading the vehicles that we're operating within the council area. So, on to which, as you can see on the right there, the double-deck version, that's a representative of the Irby vehicle that we're using, and we hosted Meet the Manager Day, which a lot of faces in the room are kind enough to attend on the event. We launched it in Irby, basically within a 20-mile radius of Belfast, and this is going currently through Carry Duff. We've just reviewed the entire service through Carry Duff, so going forward from now, we'll have a peak service of 10 minutes from Carry Duff down in the centre of Belfast, and that's supported by a 20-minute off-peak service and reflected for evening departures and running further into the evening. And this has been very well received. Now, I wish I couldn't exactly bring you figures to substantiate that as well as I would have liked to at this meeting, because quite simply it's only been running for a number of months and the school holidays and has impacted on it. But we're expecting to see a good and a significant a growth as a result of the improvements that we've made. On the left is what we call the Scania I6 vehicle, which is if you can just see from that photograph that I was able to acquire for it, it's a triaxle vehicle, once again with a Euro 6 type engine. It's got a 63 seat capacity and it has a much better sort of fuel burning, for the environment. It's much cleaner engine. So those vehicles will be coming into service in the Downpatrick area over the coming months, just over autumn and into the winter, and be replacing some of our older vehicles that are currently in service, which will give us cleaner burning, more economic use, and a higher seating capacity, increasing our ability to provide a better service for customer-centric focus at peak times and for the commuter run into Belfast especially, but not only, so we're moving on from that. What we call our Gaelic Line Express, our express service enhancements, what we've done now, the 215, which is the main Downpatrick to Belfast service, will no longer, as a result of this Carry Duff review, will no longer call it the Church Road and Carry Duff. We're expecting to have a reduction in the journey time by up to 10 minutes or maybe more as that goes on. That has been rolled out from the 2nd of September. The 337 Newcastle Express into Belfast will be doing the same. It'll not be, no longer be stopping in Carrie Dufferin. As a result, we expect at least 5 minutes of a reduction in journey time of that, possibly more. And the 240, which is our Downpatrick Nearly service, it goes across, connects with the X5 to Dublin Airport. And, Greg will give you a better overview of that. But once again, we've seen a good growth in that since we changed it last year, and the better connections with the X5. The X5 is showing great growth. Once again, I'll leave that to Greg to explain to you. And our local enhancements in this area. We've introduction of the Irby service, which is our 652 service, extended out to Ballinahinch as part of our carry-off review. We've brought in an awful lot of extra journeys on and actually stretched them into the evening and given a better service at weekends, so it's been well received. Excuse me. The 735 Stanford to Downpatrick now connects with the 800, which is one of the comments made directly to us from Council last year from one of the members. We've been able to provide that, and so that'll be ongoing now into the winter timetable as well. And then a 9:15 Newcastle to Downpatrick and via Castlewell, and now comes up here and serves the Civic Centre and Down Hospital, which is supporting an initiative we made further on in the year whereby we brought our town service in. It now comes round the back of the facility we're sitting in now and serves the rear door of the hospital, which we felt was, well, we had another reason for doing it. The previously, the service was operated by a minibus, and those minibuses, because of the rates, have been withdrawn from service, and we've had to replace them with a regular bus. The regular bus can't turn us really at the front of the hospital, so we took the opportunity at that time to restructure the service, and now it serves more civic amenities, like the police station, the fire here, even for people that need the council building themselves. And after a rocky start, we're seeing that that's been better received now, and it seems to be an element of success for that, so we're happy with that. Our local service enhancement continued. We now have two Sunday services that previously terminated our glass, now extended out to Ballyhorn, and once again, as a direct result of consultation with yourself, whenever the problems were brought to our attention, we did whatever we could within resource to address those problems, and we're happy with that outcome. Our town service C15 minibuses no longer are in service, and that's really what I alluded to a moment ago about having to replace the through the side services. The reason why that's on there is, if you see the bottom, we've also supported that with three early morning services inbound from our glass, now call it Civic Centre, and serve the same route in. And it's just really to give better connectivity from the public transport system with civic communities. Finally, from me anyway, the local bus improvements, the three of them, there have been a number of them, and it's with us, it's work in progress, because every school year brings different problems and different things. You know, it's just a dynamic with us that we have to address annually and even ongoing through the year. But it's just to give you some examples of what we've done. We've been able now to supply an extra bus from Assumption Grammar from Ballinahinch straight to Stanford to the ferry in the afternoon, which has been well received by Miss Morphy, I can tell you. And we've got an extra bus from St. Patrick's Grammar down to Ballinahinch as well, which has also reduced a lot of carmen on the buses. And then finally, we've got a direct bus now from Downpatrick to Lagan College, which once again came from consultation with yourselves, a representation from different members that this has been a problem, had been brought by various constituents, and now we've got a direct bus going from here for this school term to Lagan College. So with that, I would like to hand over now to Greg to explain some of the enhancements within the Newry area, and thank you very much for listening. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Which one? Good evening, councillors. I'd just like to start off by taking a few seconds to explain. Last year when we came, we had just acquired a direct service from Newry to Dublin, or X5 service, and I didn't really have any figures to do any comparisons, but the first slide, you can see, if you look at the growth, you can see month and month it's been substantial growth, to the point that in July, last year we carried just under 3,000 passengers on our Newry service to Dublin. This July we've carried just under 10,000. And where a lot of that growth has come from. People are now coming to Newry in the knowledge that there's a guaranteed seat if they book online. The buses are starting in Newry, the buses are empty. We actually went out one morning, I think it was last Thursday morning, and we had a bus come in from Dublin. It was empty, and there was 51 people in Newry waiting to get onto it. Last year, we'd been relying on buses to come in from Belfast to pick those people up, but we had a 52-seater bus come in and 51 people left the station to go on it. So we're seeing good growth there, and we're hoping with our new buses, which will come on to shortly, that growth will be able to continue and we'll be able to deal with it. This is a park and ride site we have at Sheepsbridge, sorry, at Sheepsbridge Banbridge up there. We have two. We have our main one for Newry at Sheepsbridge, and we have one in Banbridge as well. When Road Service put in the initial site, park and share site that we called it, we continuously told them the site was too small to commit a bus every 15 minutes, particularly our Belfast Express bus, to go in there when we knew we wouldn't get any much return or much growth from it. They went back and they put in another 100 car site, so we now have 160 spaces, which makes it worthwhile to do. And while we've only just started, we are seeing consistent growth. I don't have any figures yet, it's too early. It only really came into play at the beginning of June, and with schools being off, with people being on the holidays, you're not getting a true reflection. So hopefully when I come back this time next year, we'll be able to give you some comparisons. Kieran talked about getting some new buses. The Newry Gold Line fleet came in 2012, and they all came in together, which meant that by this stage they're 7 years old and they all need replacement. So the good news for Newry is we are getting 15 of these new triaxles. So basically the whole fleet bar so three
getting something.
Exactly, Mr. Chairman.
On the
exactly. And not before time, would you agree? What's different to these buses? One, they're a lot longer and they're bringing their own issues with that. But the good thing about it is these buses are all leather seated. They've got Wi-Fi, 62 seats as opposed to 53, and power sockets for people. The norm is now people expect if they're going to commute, they expect leather seats, they expect Wi-Fi, they expect power points. Young people expect it. Business people expect it, and if that's the type of passengers we're looking to attract, because they are commuters and they come minimum 220 times a year to our buses, that's the expectation. So you'll begin to see these buses begin to appear, we would like to think, October onwards, quicker if we can. You may see from time to time one driving around Newry. They're now being tested, the drivers are getting trained in them, etc. So it's all good, it's all positive. And on the back of that, one of the things we did was, when we looked at this, we're always looking at everything we do, can we improve it? And one of the things we looked at is, people from Newry and Banbridge were having to go through Drumore and Hillsborough. We're getting close to capacity in some of our services in the morning. We thought, look, we need to offer something better. What we came upon, what our schedulers came up with, which was a very good idea, was instead of, we have buses leaving Newry every 15 minutes, so instead of everyone doing Drumore and Hillsborough, you can now get on a bus every half hour, which will go direct from Banbridge to Belfast, so it misses out Drumore and Hillsborough. And what that has done is that's slightly skewed how people travel. People now in Newry and Banbridge are now targeting those buses because they know as soon as they leave Banbridge, go straight to Belfast, and it leaves then more spaces for the other ones coming along that have to do Drumore and Hillsborough as well. So it's a better service for people who want to get to Belfast quicker. And lastly, the last year we did a trial period where we did a midnight service out of Belfast back to Newry, and it was deemed to be successful enough that we could enhance it. And now what we're doing is on a Friday and Saturday night, from the 6th of September, Newry will be able to avail of a midnight service out of Belfast to Newry with a run all year round, but on a Friday and Saturday night only. And again, depending on uptake, if it's successful, we'll extend it and roll it out again. But like all these things, We started off on the Friday and Saturday, which is the two obvious nights to do it, and if it's successful, we'll then extend it. That's great. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Greg. Any other colleagues want to add to anything he's said before I take the elected members in? Just take them in as you've indicated, because half my councillors will left anyway. Malik.
Chair, thank you very much. And gentlemen, thank you for your presentation. I have a couple of issues. First is, I'd like an update on park and ride within our area. Have we identified anywhere yet? In previous meetings we've had, myself and Councillor Andrews with you, we'd mentioned possibility of maybe the Stainfield Cross Car, even just out the Belfast Road here and down Paddock, and that because of the volumes of people that would come from the likes of Killay, and that rather than go from Killay to Belfast and go the long way round because you're maybe having to change at Cumber in the odd service, they'll come up from the park and cross Gar and jump on the Gold Liner. So that, well, the express service gets them there quicker than that. Now, I think that's a must, and TransLink need to be pushing for that there, to try and get a park and ride somewhere along that corridor there. You know, I know we've currently selling that, but closer to Downpatrick and within the own Rowallan area. The second thing is, I'm going to ask you again, gentlemen, I've already met some of you in relation to this over a period of time. I have met with the principals of the three Ballinahinch schools on a couple of occasions, and you know what I'm going to say here, that with the volumes of kids that go from Killalay now to the three Ballinahinch schools, Assumption, St Coleman's and the Hive, there's upward between 30 and 40 kids. Now there's a bus, a direct service to bring them home in the afternoon, but there's no direct service in the morning, which means they're having to go to Downpatrick and then on to Ballinahinch. Now, as a councillor, I get grief from their parents, so I do in relation to it, seeking to see if we could maybe come to some arrangement that we could maybe get an early morning direct service on. And I say, and I'm not taking away from the fact I see in your presentation where there was a few direct services put in to Ballinahinch to other areas and that. So I plead with you again and I'll ask you again, would you please go away maybe and look again at it to see. Now I do know that this new term, there's apparently more kids going now from the Killalay area to Ballinahinch because the schools are more preferable than maybe Cumber or Downpatrick. And also, I spoke to you about continuing the bus. There's a bus that comes from, I think, maybe some of the colleges in Belfast. It only goes as far as Killinchy. And then parents have to pick their kids up there. If that could be looked at again.
Do you want to maybe take a couple of councillors and then you can respond to a couple of times? Is that all right?
Charlie. Thank you, Chair. Gentlemen, thank you very much for the report. Greg, congratulations on the X5 numbers out in Uri. They're simply incredible. It just goes to prove that if you provide the level of service that, as you've rightly acknowledged, that people expect, that they will use the service. Just one of the feeder routes was the Newcastle that would connect in with Newry. Because the X5 beginning and from Newry has been such a success, has that feeder route from Newcastle, the frequency of that increased, is one of the questions. And then the other thing is, last year, Greg, you had indicated that outside of that sort of Dublin-Belfast route, the 230 and the X5, that 39 was the busiest route. And there was a plan 12 months ago to upgrade the fleet there as well to reflect that. So I hope you're going to pull now 15 buses earlier in your back pocket. But, and then on a related point, you also announced last year, and I was delighted to hear about the Nightline pilot project across in Glen and Kilkeel. Now, I was disappointed to hear that will not be it's not envisaged that that'll be returning. But I mean, the figures on that was a unique experiment, and I certainly am a believer that for anything to grow and expand and actually become a success, it has to be nurtured and been given time. Now that I have the figures here for over the 12 weeks, like Kikil was 163 people or 13.5 people per average per journey. And the Cross McLean one was an average of 6.9 people. Now, instead of just saying, no, that's it, it doesn't work, would consideration be given to putting on one of the smaller busy buses and revisit that as an option? Or could you sort of tell us what was the target number there after the 12 weeks? And if those numbers that I've just quoted were deemed to be unsuccessful, then what number would be regarded as a success? Thank you.
Let's take those two and then we'll take Jerry and John in after.
All right, Councillor, I'll leave the 240 to my colleague here who operates it. But going on to 39, I did push for that. We have a commercial team in Belfast who looks at all these. And a lot of these things are slow burners that you put out there and you look for colleagues to help put pressure on, and you're always fighting for your area. So, for example, the X5, that was years in the making of constantly saying, look, we can do this, I know we can do this, look at the figures, and we got it. The 39 was, again, was what's next. So the next phase was 39, and we're constantly, myself, the line manager out there, are constantly making the case, look, get the 39 up there, get it looked at. The commercial team's very existence relies on success stories. So they'll come to us going, right, okay, what do you want for the 39? And what we're looking for is better spec vehicles, you know, more capacity on that route. And I can assure you, and you know, the chairman will back me up, he knew about the X5 for years before it ever happened, because I was always on and wanted you to push it, I wanted your assistance on it. You know, I can make the case for it, but it always helps if there's get support, local support, looking for it. So it, I have no doubt it will come. I have absolutely no doubt that the 39 will be looked at, because it's the next biggest service outside of Belfast, number-wise. So it's a matter of time. We have to keep pushing and pushing at it. The Nightline, and I explained this at great depth last year, the Nightline was the council's initiative. They came to us to say, we've got an initiative, will you partly match us for funding, and will you supply the bus and the drivers? So the two locations was the council's locations for run the two. The night it was run was their idea, the lead up to Christmas was their idea, and when they put the figures in and they seen how much it's going to cost, they said, look, this is a pilot, we'll carry out a review when it's over, and we'll deem it whether it's a success or not. And was deemed not to be a success. Of the two, obviously, the Warren Point Kilkeel was by far the more successful. But once they decided that the council, or the group the council put together to look at it, decided they weren't going to carry on with it, then us as a supplier, we had to stop it, because we were only brought in to supply the driver and the bus. Newry Bid did all the marketing, and the council supplied 50% of the funding, and they decided it was in their remit to decide whether it was a success or not, and they deemed it not to be successful, and there was no way we could carry it on with those numbers. So it was a pilot that was tried. They'd asked me beforehand, has it worked anywhere else? And I said no. And they'd also told me, we've tried it before, we've tried it in Newry, we've tried it in other places I've been, other managers tried it. Late night services just do not pay their way, and the only way I became involved last year was because that the council were prepared for 50%, and we were prepared for 50%, but we knew we were going to lose on it, and we can't keep losing money on these initiatives. So it would be up to the council where they want to come back to us and say, look, we want to try something else or try something different. Thank you.
Jerry?
Yes, Greg. Your park and ride in the Sheep Bridge, very successful, but what about lighting in it, Greg?
I
Again, we supply a bus. We supply a service to it. Road service built it basically. I'm not aware of that there was an issue, but if there is, I'm quite happy to take them back on your behalf to road service. What specifically are you
just safety wise, there's a couple of people came to me and said there was very little lighting on it now, and a few cars were getting broken into.
Are you on about lighting where the bus and cars go onto the road, or are you on about lighting at the actual car park itself?
In the car park itself.
Look, we have the contacts in road service, and I'm quite happy to take it back to sir, and say to road service, look, this has come up at a meeting. We maybe need to look at the lighting.
Yeah.
Security light.
Security lighting, more or less, yeah. That's okay. Gone. Thank you.
John.
Thanks very much, Chair. Kieran. How's things? Glad to have you back, as always. Very good news, obviously, about the improvements that you're making to the service going to Belfast, especially with the removal of Carrydough. That will obviously have an impact on many commuters in the mornings. And again, likewise for the rural services coming into the town and coinciding with the Belfast runs in the morning. My question, I suppose, today is more probably on the park and ride. As you'd have probably known, I would have raised it. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about park and ride in Downpatrick. You know, TNI, it's my knowledge that they are looking at sites, but have they been in any sort of talk with yourselves about proposed sites? Are they looking to progress design, or what stage would they be at with yourself at this stage? And then the second one is obviously the Civic Centre and the number of local services you have now catering for the Civic Centre. You were saying about the uptick, how much has the uptake improved over the last 6 months since those changes have been brought in?
Chair, thank you. John, good questions for us today. I'd like to respond first of all on the park and ride issue, because Councillor Walker, this kind of more or less addresses hopefully part of the question that you asked too. TNI work with DFI, for all the acronyms today. When TNI work with the DFI to identify possible sites, and then that would have to go down a whole different sort of road for acquisition and stuff and payment and whatever needs to be, and the development of the sites thereafter. Now, we've had a couple of sites identified to us, but in fairness now, they work directly with a central TransLink department that would cover potential park and ride sites globally as for the organisation. And basically, we haven't had any further movement since the last time I've had the pleasure of speaking to council. So we're really just in the same place. The problems, I can only concur, especially councillor. What you've certainly identified, you know, it's right what you're saying. With people coming across the satellite towns and the problems that brings. But I just have to tell you, basically, the answer to both gentlemen, you know, this evening is that we haven't had any further direct approach that we're any closer to having any of those sites. TransLink don't acquire those sites themselves. They are sort of more or less specifically done through TNI and DFI. And we're only sort of working along with those organisations to try and develop them. I can't remember what your other question was. I'm very sorry.
It was just the
update for... Right, it's the town's there. That's our 315 service. It's hard to tell. It's pretty. It goes up and it goes down. The town service is not very well supported generally in the Downpatrick area. But the only way I could really address you on that one, John, is really by when we first made the change. There was a little bit of a flurry of activity where some people didn't like it because it took the service out away from the hospital. Now, I had to be a little bit direct with the people involved here. I had to sort of say to the health board in the area, it's not a hospital bus, it's a town service bus that serves the hospital. And it wasn't funded or supported, you know, for that reason. So we made a business decision. And we feel that what we've actually done is offered the same service with a minor adjustment to offer more facilities to the population that are using the service in it. There has not been a substantial change in it, but it has been sustainable.
Would we see an element of growth on it? Yes. But, I mean, in fairness, it wouldn't be anything like what the success story of the X5 or anything like that there. You know, we just, you know, so once again, we're letting it sort of mill over and grow itself. I hope that addresses your question, John.
Well, there's plenty of waiting here to get in.
Well, Chair, if we may, Peter was going to address that anyway, so through the chair, if that's okay. Yeah.
Go ahead, yeah. William, I know we have been aware that for the direct service from Strigley, Killaloe, Crossgower to Ballinahinch, and we did bring it up with the Education Board, who knocked us back on it last year. If to do that, I need a bus. And who do I take the bus off? No, to put the bus on, if an opportunity comes up within budget, that we can do that. If the numbers aren't as heavy coming in from Killaloe to Downpatrick, as you've been aware over the years, if the numbers fall down coming into Downpatrick, there may be an opportunity to switch a bus around. But unfortunately, we'll not know that until September to the numbers. And we don't really know the full numbers until the end of September, when the A-level pupils decide whether they're coming back and going to the TAC or where they're going. So it's usually at the end of September where we do all our figures and see where all the numbers are. And we do our best to accommodate everybody. The question about the 240 service, it wasn't enhanced in any way, but we have seen a growth in numbers. There was a problem. The bus was leaving Uri at 4:15, and sometimes the X5 wasn't getting in time to meet the connection. So from September, we have retimed it to 4:30 to give it that extra 15 minutes. But as my colleagues here were saying, I work basically for the commercial and planning team. So whatever they asked Kieran or they would ask us schedulers to do, and we would do the plan and the costing, and then that's the way it goes down the line. But the school services are monitored all the time, loadings and what have you.
Thanks for the Union, the Democratic Unionist Party. Yeah. Thanks very much for it.
Interesting your presentation. what I do get from you, it seems to be that the buses with all the plugs and the fittings and the heated seats and the kneeling buses all appear to be either tri-axle or be state-of-the-art vehicles, double-decker stuff. Do you not have such a vehicle? It would be smaller. Obviously, I'm from Kilkeel. Your stats probably don't add up for these bigger buses. Is it possible you would have a smaller type bus with a fancy gear? I do know that the first trip from Uri or from Kilkeel to Uri in the morning, a lot of students going to technical colleges and that would at least half fill a good bus. And maybe if there was an incentive there, a wee bit like Councillor Tinley was talking about, an incentive for some of those younger guys, maybe more people would use your bus. You know, then maybe just think of the old type bus it used to be, but it'd be nice to see a bit of modern. I do see a nod time, a Nurby bus coming out of Kilkeel. Maybe that's because it suits the situation. Is it a case, perhaps even the road infrastructure is bad, the good bus is stuck, but Newcastle and stuck Warren Point, they don't come on into Kilkeel, same as the roads. We don't have good roads in Kilkeel either. So is that another reason why you try to avoid coming in case you damage your mirror on some of them bad roads and trees?
Thank you, Councillor, through the chair. To be quite honest with you, our Irby fleet, for want of a better description, is basically based in Ballinahinch and serves a different hinterland. If you saw an Irby vehicle in the Kilkeel area, it was for some other reason, a protest and a pain. Or I will be going back and asking some more questions myself, you know. In fairness, I think the way it is, for different reasons, where we are now as an organisation, and sorry to be cliche, it's something Council is extremely aware of and what you've heard of on many occasions, but it comes down to funding and the pressure of funding. And what we do now is we now buy vehicles for the longevity, for their lifespan, what we're going to get out of them. And then once it's also like the same as the law of diminishing returns. The more you buy, the better a deal you get. The only thing I can tell you is a direct answer to your question, Councillor McHale. There isn't a smaller version available to us at the minute. So I do hear you, and I've genuinely taken your comments on board, and we'll look at maybe any opportunity if it presents itself. But in our particular operational area, going forward, we'll be looking to sort of upgrade the bigger vehicle that we have, simply because of the nature of the work we do. Our operational area is sustained by school work and express work. It's our life's blood. So we have to put our investment into maintaining the vehicles that are going to satisfy that market primarily. But it doesn't mean to say that your comments aren't valued and have substance. So we could only look at that going forward. But I'm just looking across the room and answering you directly. There isn't a plan at this point to develop a smaller vehicle or introduce a smaller vehicle into that particular catchment. I'm sorry if that's disappointing, but that's just where we are. But it really is down through funding and what we can get as an organisation through the renovation and upgrade of our general fleet and right across the organisation, right across the whole plan. So sorry if that's a disappointing answer, but that's the best I can give you this evening.
Yeah, you might take a look at that.
I've got a question that might be a bit off the beaten track, but if I'm sort of straying out of the off topic, I'm sure that the chair will be able to keep me on topic. There's a lot of concern amongst elderly residents recently with the cut of the BBC license fee, and from what we heard tonight from the road service, there's a continual reduction in the budget, if not reduction budget practice, then the theme of putting real bad restraints on their activities across the area. Would you have any anticipation of any changes to the senior smart pass, and is that subsidised by yourselves or by the apartment?
As I understand it, the department have capped it at, is it £10 million, Arthur? The senior pass? Yeah, I think maybe Arthur would be more.
Cheers. Sorry for causing
all
this thing. That's not good.
It's the department, and they fund that. It's not something for us to comment on, really. We welcome it. We have funding that Greg mentioned, the cap that we get each year, and we normally achieve that cap. About the future of it, we have no idea, but ultimately we need funding. You heard in the nice shiny video that we've done, which is short and sharp and to the point, we are 50% less funded than across in GB. 60% less than in England and 40% less than in Scotland. So we need more funding for public transport, and that's one of the means whereby we get that funding, if you like, and it gets people connected, rural, elderly people. So it's a positive thing. We hope it will continue, but we can't comment on its future.
Thank you.
Have you finished, Alan, yet?
Yeah, that's my turn. Thank you.
Just off your late, please. Thank you.
I'm actually just asking, it's an ongoing issue as such, and as regards to buses through Newcastle, Castlewell and that direction. Given that Castlewell is ever developing and becoming more kind of a holiday summertime aspect of it, there doesn't seem to be an equity as such within the buses, especially on a Sunday. There doesn't appear you can go to Newcastle to get the bus at Belfast, vice versa that way. It just doesn't seem to be equitable there, and especially the students going back into on a Sunday as such into Belfast as such. Where are we in regards to that? Is that being looked at, or is there an issue at this moment in time? Has it been brought any further?
Peter's our area scheduler. We deal directly with the deployment of resources, especially over the weekends and stuff like that. We're looking for growth, but if you mind, I would let Peter handle your response to that. Yeah.
Yeah, this problem and issue was brought up last year. Basically, what the problem is, the Newcastle being a holiday resort, as every time the sun shines, the buses fill up, and if I put a bus via Castle Well, unfortunately the roads I can't put a double decker on, and the maximum bus, the maximum seated load I can put in through is 55 seats. We have over the years tried to get the roads, the branches and that cut, especially up around Drummer Road, but it's no success. The last year we put in two filler buses in the evening, 17 A's, which come through Castle Well and go down to Clough and to meet the service 20 in Clough in the evening for the student. Now, there wasn't a great uptake on it. We've had talks with the driver meeting there, and they've come up with a couple of ideas which we may progress forward with. Basically, Newcastle, if it had been a wet summer, there would have been plenty of room on all the buses, but unfortunately, it's not unfortunate, but it was a busy summer, and double-deckers, we need double-deckers, and unfortunately, the wee bit between Ballinahinch up through the Spa and Drummer Road, the roads aren't suitable for a double-decker, so that's why we're skewed towards service 20 and 520. Now, we did do an improved 518 or 18 service on a Saturday. We put four in on a Saturday through to Belfast to improve it a wee bit, you know, for their own direct service. But we're running into problems with that too on a Saturday, where the buses were leaving Belfast and there wasn't basically room to clear the road, as we would say, because we can only use small buses. So we have to really come up with another option or another route or something. But there are a couple of thoughts in the pipeline which we're looking at, which maybe solves the problem where we're thinking maybe we're only throwing this out, so it's only speculation, is to bring the buses from Belfast directly through to Clough and then turn right at Clough up around Castlewell and vice versa. But that is all going forward. I will put that to the commercial ops with support from Kieran here, and I'll have to go through licensing. And like it's basically, I'm 35 years on the buses, and the old days we just, if we wanted to do something, we'd done it the next day, but in days they've all gone. So there is a plan and a thought. So we're going to survey the numbers between, you know, Ballinahinch, Spa, Drummer Road, to see what the usage is, to see if it would be better working at the other road where we could put double deckers on. So we're looking at it, but we haven't got the plan solved yet. So the 217A's on a Sunday brings the kids down, the students down to Clough. There's a through ticket, and they get the buses from Clough to, through to Belfast.
Yeah.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to ask a quick question. I know you had been in contact about antisocial behaviour on the town service route, and there may be a chance it'll have to be rerouted. Did that happen, or is it just sort of blown over? Touch wood.
Hi, Una.
Hiya.
Just to let you know, unfortunately, we are sustaining another attack there on Thursday evening.
Right, okay.
Now, as I explained to you whenever I spoke to you, it would be very, very last resort for us to curtail or redirect the service. Those are if things came out of, you know, things got a bit out of hand. In fairness, Una, the way we're looking at it right now is that these are sort of just sporadic attacks, and it could be the time of year, kids bored, still a bit of light in the sky, they haven't gone back to school.
Okay.
But we will monitor in the coming weeks. Now, thank you for the interventions that were done, because it did cut back, and there was, like, for a period of 2 or 3 weeks, there was nothing.
Good.
But I'm sorry to just report you this evening that there was another attack up there in the same model farm area Thursday evening.
Okay, well, sure, we can keep close to it, and any support you need, just give us a shout. Okay, thanks.
I think that's great. I don't want to miss the last bus, so I think that'll do it for me.
Sorry, Chair, just before we may I just wait very quick.
Oh, Carrie.
Sorry, Carrie.
No, it's a bit like the weather since the kennel. She has a good stuff for the last. But well, anyway, Karen and Peter, thanks very much for all your help over the years. Just in relation to, I know you just spoke about doing public leg in college, but I did raise issues with you about Ballinahinch. You know, there was parents in Ballinahinch who sent kids to leg in college about, you know, the bus services. So maybe if you have a bus in Bay Public, maybe that could be looked into as well. And I also do support the calls for better bus services, the Kelly, Crossguard, Ballinahinch and all. And again, the frequency of buses, the increase, is good to see. So again, keep up the good work. And I look forward to torching you all soon. Thanks.
Okay, yeah. Just to finish off, just to get back to the point Shida Mary mentioned about the Downpatrick area for Park and Ride, was a site that was identified to us by DFI was out at the industrial affair. Now, it's still very, very formative. There'd be problems with it, but we'd be really looking for it as a plan going forward. It requires substantial investment, and would it really, in fairness, where possible, council support. One of the things, access and egress could be a problem, because if you come out of it in the evening turning right, you know, you know it's going to be very difficult, you know, like with the traffic coming out of Downpatrick at that time of night. So there's issues with the planning and development and exactly how it's going to look at the end. So, but it is the most recent site that was identified to us, but it is still very formative. Once again, it's going forward. It does everything just comes back to investment, you know, and council support for the investment on that would be, you know, very much appreciated. My final point is, I wanted to say, I'm sorry now, I know it's late in the evening and I know there's not so many here now, but there's a thing. Over the summer we've had another problem that's manifesting itself, and it's good to see, don't get me wrong in a way. There's an awful lot more concert activity happening in Belfast, and it's attracting a lot of people, the young ones, down into the city for various things that are happening in the evening. What that has brought with us has brought a few problems. And, like, for example, well, we might be in too graphic, they don't really behave themselves too well on the bus. And what I was really looking at was just if there's any sort of way council support. When I say council support, I'm asking even agencies or something that can help us out. There's underage drinking. Very, very bad problem. The police do their best, and I have to actually commend the support that we do receive from the PSNI, but their resources are not limitless, and it's just a thing going forward. I don't even know. I'm just asking. I'm sort of throwing out there. What I'm intending to do is myself and an inspector are going to go out over the schools. I'm going to ask the principals if they let us sort of make an announcement out at assembly. To younger, we're actually trying to establish a protocol. It's something we're going to look at as an organisation. I was raised it with my own line manager this morning. It just seems to be a wee problem that's going to get worse, because they seem to be upping it every year. Which is a good thing, I suppose. I know the kids need to enjoy themselves and understand that. But it's just, without going to, their behaviour on the bus is inappropriate, to the point where we're going to have to take some sort of action on that. We would prefer getting support from any quarter that can be suggested to us through council. And thank you very much for having us here this evening. It's much, much appreciated. Thank you very much, all.
Chairman, maybe just if you wanted to give us some stuff through social media, we can put stuff up. If you're getting a message out that you're using through your own social media, if you want to copy us into it, we'd put it up on our Facebook page or in terms of our Twitter pages or Instagram. I'm not big into the social media side of it, but again, we're happy to get stuff, because I know that, for example, Laird County Council issues in Carlingford, you know, and we actually, coming up to events, we put stuff on to remember to be and behaviour bus. This is your service, abuse it and you lose it. That sort of messages across that we can actually put out, and because again, members pick that up, you know, council members will pick up from the council website and they can bang it out across their members. So again, we're happy to work with you on it in our comms team if you want to come back to us on that, you know.
Just on that point, it's probably worth raising with the PCSP as well, going forward, and maybe get the initiative to, you know, to write to the schools a joint letter to the schools, but also to the off licence as well, make them available, you know, reducing the availability of alcohol to coaches, because the coach, you know, they know they're getting the buses, you know. They must be aware of it, so I think it's important we do that, and I propose we do it.
John?
I second what he's just proposed, actually, the PCSP, and also maybe say, like, if it's an issue around the depots as well, because obviously you have our depots in Downpatrick and Newcastle, and, you know, if it's a case of maybe even needing the community safety warden for the visibility aspect, you know, during those other times where there's festivals, that could be maybe something looked at in PCSP, though, but I would definitely second a proposal for to maybe have our PCSP to liaise and to look at that issue.
Yeah, we could have joined a post of it, maybe we could get some success out of it. Thanks very much, gentlemen, for your time. Thank you. Nice chance.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, could we just wish Liam a long and happy retirement? Yeah. Be remiss of us not to.
I'll get me bus pass by.
You will. You're far too young.
See courses for healing, Johnny, you fellow.